It was not unexpected. I figured the ACLU would do that. Uh-huh.
Do you think that they have a leg to stand on in this argument? What they're arguing is that this violates the rights of healthcare providers and women seeking abortions. Have you seen the complaint?
I have not seen the complaint. No, I have not. And who knows? We'll see how it plays out in court. I personally do not think they have a leg to stand on. I think the legislation is something that was needed in North Carolina, and it does not infringe on anyone's rights. Abortion can still be had by anyone who wants it in North Carolina.
Is it true from this legislation that doctors have to read something that is provided by the General Assembly, a script, sort of?
There is a pamphlet, yes, that we ask them to read, uh-huh. It's an education.
Does the ACLU have a point that the state legislature is trying to put words in the mouth of doctors at this point?
No, you know, really all we're trying to do is make sure a woman is informed. We had testimony from so many women out there that had abortions and didn't even know the name of their doctor. So we're hoping that this will improve the doctor-patient relationship with women who are seeking abortions.
Now, what about the 24-hour wait period? Isn't this this makes it harder for women? I mean, some women are going to have to drive to the clinic, go home, come back. Doesn't that make it just a much more painful process?
I don't think it's a more painful process. I think the pain comes in when women are not totally informed, and when they are going through psychiatric care years down the road after they've had abortions. Many of them have testified before us that have had abortions previously that said, you know, if I had only known, if I had only been able to see the ultrasound. So, no, I think that the pain is years later and months later after the women have had abortion and they didn't know what they were actually getting into.
You mean when they say that if they had known basically what they were killing? Is that what you mean?
If they had known the side effects of abortion, so many have had issues physically since the abortion. Some testified that they even had a child with cerebral palsy, and that is in the literature, shows that after an abortion, a pregnancy has a pretty high likelihood at the next pregnancy of having a child with cerebral palsy. So there's a lot of side effects to abortion, and a lot of them regretted that they didn't know.
Well, what science is there to back up that claim?
There were several studies that were brought out by Representative Stamm during the process of our hearings.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I mean, you said you don't really have a prediction or so, but do you expect to win the case? Have you seen other cases around the country like this, and have they generally gone your way or the other side's way, or what do you think?
I think think we have a foolproof bill here. We looked at it with all legalities and with lots of attorneys, and only the court can tell. You never know.
All right. Well, Ms. McElrath, I really appreciate you taking the time.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care. So you're the medical director for Planned Parenthood Health Systems.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? What do you do?
I oversee the quality of care that we deliver in numerous sites across the several states.
Do you see this this bill or this new law being detrimental to your work and the service that you provide?
Absolutely. I believe that we at Planned Parenthood try our very best to deliver the highest quality care to patients. And what this bill does is it is demeaning and intrusive and just basically intrudes into the physician-patient relationship, which we feel is sacred. This is we give a complete medical workup to every client we see, regardless of what the reason is. And we go through the best informed consent process I've ever seen in any medical setting. So these are, you know, these attempts to control what we do are, you know, demeaning. We're having to, you know, try to, we're having to adapt what we do in ways that is very demeaning to the patient, for example. Imagine a rape victim who comes to us with an unwanted pregnancy as a result of that rape. And one of the things we have to say to her is that the father has to make child custody payments by law. You know, completely inappropriate in that setting. And not only that, but afterwards, the rapist could come back and sue an abortion provider for the care that was given.
Well, I'm confused. So you said you have to tell someone who's coming in for an abortion that the father has to make child custody payments?
Yes.
But they're having an abortion. So, I mean, what would he be paying for?
That's part of the informed consent process that you know, we're being required to, it's part of the script that we're being required to say to a patient.
Well, but doesn't it seem like practically impossible to say that this person has to pay child support when the person's there for an abortion?
I'll let you be the judge of that.
It just seems so bizarre. The woman's there to end the pregnancy, and they're talking about how to pay child support payments. I don't understand.
Well, I think you have to talk to the authors of the bill to understand that.
Right. So is there?
That's what we're talking about as intrusive.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't make sense.
Example.
I mean, it just doesn't make sense at all. I mean, is that just confusing the patient, or are you able to tell them that this is something that we have to say as mandated by the state? It makes absolutely no sense.
That's a great question, and one that we're struggling with.
Oh man. The bill sponsor, I was talking to Pat McElraft, one of the bill sponsors from Emerald Isle. She was saying that a lot of women that they hear from will say that they don't even know the name of their doctor who performed their abortion. Mm-hmm. And so that what they want is for, what they think is happening is that the bill actually improves the patient-doctor relationship. And they also say that some women will say to them, if only they could have seen their ultrasound, they might not have made that decision. What do you say to that?
I think that, you know, what we provide, again, you know, just kind of getting back to what we do, is very high quality care. And what these measures, you bring up the one about the physician's name, it's an attempt to drive physicians from this line of work. So I disagree with how they're characterizing it. We're really, you know, working very hard to provide this high, high quality care, and they're being further limited in how we're able to do that safely. And actually, it's the opposite effect, that it actually limits us from being able to specialize our care for a given patient and the way that she presents and the timing of her presentation and her availability to get to a site that's two counties away or three counties away from where she lives.
Right, and I guess you're talking about the 24-hour wait period that they have to go through.
Right, it's all, you know, part of it.
And so with this 24-hour wait period, it means that to have an abortion, you basically have to make two trips. Is that right? I mean, you can't do something over the phone. You first have to go and get a consultation, get the counseling, then wait 24 hours and then do it. So you have to come back.
I think that that's largely what it's going to mean. I think that there's probably, there's nothing that says you can't do the consent over the phone, but it does say that you can't record. You can't have a recording over the phone. So there would have to be a provider interaction over the phone, which, you know, it's hard. It's hard to schedule such things. It's hard, it's just not a standard part of what we do, is have a 30-minute conversation over the phone in any area of medicine. So, yeah, so for these women who are coming from, several counties away and can only get off one day in the next 2 weeks, and, this is a real barrier.
And now, you guys do show the patients the ultrasound if they request it, right? You actually offer that to all of them, don't you?
We do.
So, okay. Yeah. So, what she was telling me,
we offer it to every woman. This is not new for us.
Yeah. And so basically what the bill does now is requires you to show it to them, whether they want to or not.
It requires her to look.
Requires her to look. Mm-hmm. What if the woman doesn't look at the ultrasound, closes her eyes? What happens then?
I think she has to ultimately, I believe she's going to have to sign something that says she chose not to.
I see. And will she then be denied an abortion?
I can't answer that question.
I got you. I know.
I have to get back into the details of it. We're still working through all this.
And I know. It's not really.
I can't remember exactly how that was worded.
Now, this law, it hasn't taken effect, right? Has it?
It takes effect, I think, the 26th of this month, of this coming month.
Oh, in October?
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, I think those are the questions I had. Is there anything else you want to say about it?
I just want to reiterate that this is just a very intrusive law, and it's intruding into a process that's very private between a doctor and a patient, where there's already great mechanisms for individualized, high-quality, informed consent process already taking place.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Donna. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks, Jeremy.
Okay. Take care. All right. Bye.